First of all, again, thank you again for opening up your home, you and Benny. Just you should only use zeicha to brachas ad b'li day. Nachas from the kids on all levels. Bunny, Chaim, Mizoini, Tosefes Meruvah Ala Iker, from strength to strength, in increased measure, all good things for you, the whole kehila, all of Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. You should all have a kesim v'chesim atayva. So, things like this. Usually, I want to do something a little bit different than usual, okay? So usually, I have an idea, a thought, questions, answers. But I think like this, you know, when it comes to Yontif of Rosh Hashanah, there's a lot. So to start trying to figure out how to, you know, talk about this aspect, it's very, very difficult. And on the other, and that's on one hand. Another thing is that Rosh Hashanah, you know, we want to maximize the day. We want to maximize the time. So I want to do something a little bit different, and it's not my comfort zone. But I want to be practical. Okay, I want to have something down to earth. So my thought is like this. You know, not always can, especially Nashim Sidkani, it's not always can they be in shul the whole time. Not always can Rosh Hashanah maybe be the way you always envisioned Rosh Hashanah to be, the way you want it to be. So what I want to do is like this. I was thinking the other day of sort of bullet points, like a list of things to think about and to try to sort of, you know, focus on throughout the days of Rosh Hashanah. And I think maybe that'll be kedai, maybe just to go through this list of things. Again, you know, it could be I'll go off script and I'll come up with other things, you know, as I talk. But certain things that we can think about to sort of frame the day, okay, in a practical sense, to be able to think about certain avodas and certain things that we can do for ourselves, for our families throughout Rosh Hashanah, how to approach the davening. Let's say a person is not going to have that much time to daven, or they're not going to, or even when they're able to, when they're the time that they think they're going to daven, they may be pulled in a few different directions. And so I think what's important is to realize that Rosh Hashanah is 48 hours, okay? Davening itself is a certain amount of that time. And so people think that all of Rosh Hashanah is just about the davening, just about, you know, the shofar, which obviously those are important mitzvahs. But there's 48 hours in Rosh Hashanah. And it's in the hours that a person is not in shul, not davening, not listening to shofar. That's, you know, that those are the times that really could also really define for a person what Rosh Hashanah is. And, you know, and as Rosh Hashanah goes, Rosh Hashanah, the year should go as well, should go good as well. I think the first point that I'll make is a person shouldn't feel like God is not like it's not like the IRS. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, you know, you submit your paperwork and there was like a dot that was incorrect or whatever, something that was off. Like, oh, the whole thing is ruined and forget about it. God is Avinu Avrahman. The Rabbanu Shem is our father, our mother, our sister, our brother, our wife, our child. The Rabbanu Shem is everything. And so to think of God in such a way, to think of the system of Yiddishkeit in such a way, that's like, if I don't do everything just right in Rosh Hashanah, if everything doesn't go according to exactly my plan, I mean, everything's going to be ruined. The Rabbanu Shem understands there's more than life than just those 48 hours. A person shouldn't have that much lachas. There's a story in Tanakh when the second Beis HaMikdash was built. So the leader of the Jewish people was Ezra HaSofer. So the Pasuk says that it was Rosh Hashanah, and the Jewish people came to Ezra. It's interesting. It seems that the Jewish people, during the times of the Gullus, between the first and second Beis HaMikdash, during the times of the exile of Bavel, it seems that the Jewish people's approach to Rosh Hashanah was more of like a heaviness, maybe even sad to a certain degree. So when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, so they came to Ezra, and they asked him, well, now that we have a Beis HaMikdash, maybe Rosh Hashanah should be a little bit more simchadik. So Ezra responded, now it should be more simchadik. He says, no, ki kadosh yom ladineinu, Rosh Hashanah is yontif. Rosh Hashanah is always supposed to be with a certain level of optimism and hopefulness and confidence in the Rabbanu Shalom's kindness, and to wield simcha and to wield that enthusiasm as our own advocate. Ki ched ves Hashem imuzchem, the joy of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah is your strength. So a person should understand that, again, everyone has a different, you know, neshamas are complicated. Not everyone comes from the same root. So because of that, not everyone experiences Rosh Hashanah the same way. But you should just know that if you're not sure what your where your root is, you go with Ezra Sofer. Hashem's simcha is our strength. So you go with confidence and strength, and Bez Hashem, it'll be a good year. But like I said, so I want to just go through some bullet points, some basic ideas, things to think about, things to keep in mind, and Bez Hashem, from there, be able to hopefully have a good time and a good Rosh Hashanah. Point number one. It's called Rosh Hashanah. Why is it called Rosh Hashanah? So the Baal Tanya famously said, he said it should be called, if you're going to, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year, yeah? So it should be called Tchilas Hashanah. Tchilas Hashanah means the beginning of the year. It's Rosh Hashanah. What does Rosh mean? Rosh means ahead. So said the Baal Tanya, the way that you have to think of Rosh Hashanah is that it's the head of the year. Now the Baal Tanya takes that in his particular way. But that idea of Rosh Hashanah being described as the head, sort of Nachum Breslover, it's brought down in his name, the following idea. And this is point number one. On Rosh Hashanah, what's very important, and has nothing to do with davening, just those 48 hours. Number one, you be in control of your mind. You, as much as possible, you're in control of your thoughts. What does it mean to be in control of one's thoughts? It doesn't mean that you're necessarily in charge of any thought that pops into your head. But you are in charge of whether you want to go down that rabbit hole or not. That's up to you. That's always up to you. A person is only, I'll give you an etzah, a person could only have one thought at a time. It means and you're in control of what that thought is. You're always in control of what that thought is. Now, any particular day, in order to be happy, to be healthy, to be functional, to be accomplished, you have to be in control of your thoughts. Again, that doesn't mean that random thoughts don't come in. But it just means that you decide whether you want to continue along in that conversation or you want to move on to something else. That's always a good idea, but Rosh Hashanah especially. So for those 48 hours, and it comes with practice, but it's important. It's an important avodah. This is nothing. This obviously, if a person is in control of their thoughts and they decide what they want to think about and where they want to go mentally, obviously that'll help your davening. That's for sure. But this is something for just all the 48 hours. You be in control of what you want to think about. Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year. So Nachman said it's important to be in control of one's head. Now, that's point number one. And as I said, an etzer for that is to realize and to remember that all you have to be in control of is what that one thought is that's in your mind at that time. You don't have to, it's not a decision of over 48 hours, I'm going to only think about one. It's not like that. Any particular moment, you're in control of what your mind thinks about at that moment. That's all. There's only room for one thought. And you're not going to be successful if you try to kick out thoughts. That's not going to be an Eitzah. But you decide what that one thought is that you're inviting in. And that's what you're in control of during Rosh Hashanah. You control your thoughts. That's point number one. Point number two, Rosh Hashanah is also called Yom HaZikaron, a day of memory. So what does it mean, what does it mean to remember something? So when we think memory, we think of it in terms of like you forgot something and now you remember. In Tanakh, that's not what Zikaron means. For example, when it says in Pasuk, there's a mitzvah for men to wear tzitzis. So it says in Pasuk that you wear tzitzis, laman tizkru, that you should remember mitzvahs. The meaning of that is not that you should just remember as opposed to forgetting. There's not a concern that an Orthodox Jew is just going to forget the concept of like idolatry. That's not, the tzitzis doesn't remind the Jew, oh, Ataka, I forgot that you're not allowed to have lobster. Like, it's not. The point is, Zikaron in Tanakh, in Chumash, means emotional attachment. It means to be emotionally invested in something. That's what Zikaron is. A person can intellectually know something and technically remember it, but if it's a cold thought and it's a cold experience, that's not Zikaron. That's not remembering something. When we say that on Rosh Hashanah, we want our memory to be oil, to be, Hashem to remember us. What does it mean? Hashem forgets. There's no forgetting. But it means that when we want the Rabbanu Shalom to think of us, and when your name pops up, we want Hashem to be excited. Oh, Taka, I love that person. It's amazing. We want the Rabbanu Shalom to be emotionally kiviyachol. His heart should be invested. So, avodah number two. The avodah number two of Rosh Hashanah is that whatever it is that you're doing, you do it with your heart. More often than not, in life, there are moments that we do things with sincerity, with intensity, with passion. But most of the things that we do, we just do because we do. On Rosh Hashanah, it's important, number one, to be in control of your mind. you think what you decide to think about, and thoughts that come your way that are unproductive, unhealthy, v'chulu, you don't give it any time, you don't give it any space, you immediately replace it with a good thought. And number two, whatever you do on Rosh Hashanah, whether it's davening, whether it's shofar, whether it's eating breakfast, whether it's dressing kids, whether it's walking down the block, whether it's sneezing, whatever it is that you're doing Rosh Hashanah, you do with all your heart. You do with all your heart. It means you wish someone a ksiva chsima toiva, mean it. It means you make a bracha, mean it. You say good morning to someone, you mean it. That's what you do. You do everything with your heart. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is revolving around davening. Davening is avodah shebelev. So the mayach, that's Rosh, it's the head, but it's also the day of the heart. Because that's one of the essential avodahs of Rosh Hashanah, is to unite the mind and the heart. Whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're doing, you do it with all your heart. So it's a very, very important avodah as well. Again, this could be tiring, but like I said, it's just 48 hours. It's just 48 hours. And a lot of the 48 hours, you're sleeping. So it's not all, it's not 48 hours already. And it's one of those things. It's not like all or nothing. So if a person finds themselves, catches themselves in the middle of Rosh Hashanah that they're just like drifting off, they're not doing, they're just falling into their regular habits, then you catch yourself. You say, okay, fine. But now, again, all you have is that one thought, and all you have is that one experience that's in front of you. So you do that with a full heart. That's point number two. Point number three. The day of Rosh Hashanah is about establishing ourselves. It's about remembering who we are. That's a major element of Rosh Hashanah. It's making Hashem the king. But what does it mean to be a king without subjects, without servants? The essential point of making Hashem the king means to say that my entire existence, my purpose in life, my entire focus, all that I really care about is being a good Jew. And making sure that those that are dependent on me are good Jews. That's what it's about. Because of that, a major element of Rosh Hashanah is to try to go throughout those 48 hours to try to find moments or try to find ways of expressing and establishing that commitment that all I care about and all that really is important to me is Yiddishkeit, is Torah mitzvahs, is the chinuch of my family, and then becoming good and healthy and happy Jews. That's the most important thing in my life. So you could just say that, you could just believe it. But in Rosh Hashanah, the idea is to try to sort of prove it. Prove it and to try to give it some concrete vessel. So what does that mean? So again, very simple. Point number three. Whenever you're doing a mitzvah in Rosh Hashanah, do it with that idea, which is that I'm doing this in order to show that I'm a Yid and all I care about is being a Yid. What are you doing to show that? The same things you're doing every day. You make a shakal on a cup of water. You make a shakal on a cup of coffee. You're listening to shofar. Whatever it is, you're putting your shoes on the right way. Right first, then left, and then tie left. Whatever it is that you're doing as a Jew, on Rosh Hashanah, again, it's to be mindful of what you're doing. It's to do it with intensity. And what are you trying to say when you're doing it? What you're trying to say is that this is the most important thing in my life. I would die for Judaism. I would die for the Judaism of my family. And I'm a Yid. And I'm not American. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not a human being that happens to have different obligations. I'm a Yid from the beginning and the end. That's who I am. And that's what you're doing when you're doing mitzvahs. That's what we're doing anyway when we do mitzvahs. But it's important, the idea is on Rosh Hashanah to take small little details. Right? Again, whether it's a shahakal, a mezainis, asher yotzar, whatever it is that you're doing, washing your hands, saying a kind word, being gaimel chesed, whatever mitzvah that you're doing, which is a small, tiny, little moment, but to try to see the klal in it, to try to see the big picture in it, and to define your entire world view based on that. Because to a certain degree, that's what Rosh Hashanah is, right? Rosh Hashanah, like the Baal Tanya said, is the head of the year. A head is not just the beginning of your body. Everything in your body is in your head. So Rosh Hashanah, therefore, has this quality to it of something specific, something finite, something technically, your head is a small percentage of your whole body. So it's a prat, right? It's a detail. But in that is everything. So that's the sort of living that way during those 48 hours is very Rosh Hashanah-dik. You understand? It's very Rosh Hashanah-dik. It's about taking something, and again, like I said, something small, specific, which you're doing anyway. But to do it not only with conscious focus and not only with emotional investment, but to do it as a way of defining your whole life. That's another important thing. Another aspect. This is a little bit more subtle. A little bit more subtle. You know, in by Nisana Taikif, right? So it says over there when it talks about the judgment, so it says, it's interesting, it says talking about the Malachim, what's going on up there, and it says, V'shofar gadol yutaka, there's a great sound of a shofar. And then afterwards, V'kol d'mama dak yishama, and a very still, silent, thin voice. And Hina Yom Adin, that's the day of judgment. So, shofar gadol yutaka, I get it, it's the sound of a shofar, wakes, jolts everyone out of complacency. What's this kol d'mama dak? The still sound, the still voice. It's like very thin voice. It's a very strange thing that you put that in over there. So this is hard to explain. But when we talk about making oneself, making like Hashem our king, and making yourself like a servant of Hashem, and really, how do I describe it? There's an avoid of doing it in a way where it's just you and the Rabban Shalom. Like a still voice that no one else hears. Like, I'll give you a mashal. Let's say you're in a room where there's a lot of people talking and you want to have a conversation with someone, a private conversation. So if there's a lot of people in the room, it's going to be difficult, so you have to go to a private area. But let's say you're in a room where it's all like Chinese people. And they all speak Chinese. No one speaks English. And the only one that speaks English is you and the person you want to speak to. Then you could talk at the top of your lungs, you could talk and scream, don't make difference. No one else understands what you're talking about, which is fine. And the opposite rules, it's not against Chinese people, the opposite rules also true. If you and your friend speak only Chinese and the rest of Americans, you talk at the top of your lungs. This is a little bit more subtle, so it's hard to explain. I'm only going to give it just a couple minutes, but there is such a level where your relationship with God is one like that, where only you and Him understand each other. And no one else is speaking the same language. That doesn't mean that you're not all sharing the same values. It doesn't mean that you're not all sharing the same mitzvahs. We're all doing... But there is such a thing as that, you know, it's like the whole judgment of Rosh Hashanah is like the Gemara says, that everyone goes one by one. One by one, so we think of it as like, oh my gosh, it's so scary. It is scary. And when you're in the waiting room, the gabay, you know, the people in charge, you know, they're making sure that you have all your papers, you know, everything is properly. And then it's like, it's your turn. And they warn you as you enter into the room, make sure you have your papers, make sure you know. And then you actually go into the room and you're expecting this scary, you know. And then the king greets and he says, oh, Sarala, Rivkala, Yankala, oh, so good to see you. And you're thinking, you know, I have my papers, right? And the Mishnah says, get the papers, don't worry about it. And we first want to see how you're doing. It says in Pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, Moshe Rabbeinu go to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So why would you go to the Kodesh HaKodeshim? That's like Rosh Hashanah, you know? So it says in Pasuk, why was Moshe Rabbeinu brought to the Kodesh HaKodeshim? So Hashem says to Moshe, "V'nayadi l'chasham, we'll hang out together. V'dibarti yitcha malakaparis, and I'll talk to you in the Kodesh HaKodeshim about the new mitzvah, the new initiative that I want the Jewish people to take." It's 1 second. The reason why Moshe goes to the Kodesh HaKodeshim is to be told new mitzvahs, to get the documents and everything. But that's not what Hashem says. The first thing Hashem says is, "V'nayadi l'chasham, we're gonna shmooze, we'll hang out, we'll talk, we'll bring over." Yeah, okay. Eventually we'll get to the, you know, officially you're here to get the new mitzvah, so I'll give you a new mitzvah. Right? When you go into the Kodesh HaKodesh, the Rosh Hashanah is about being in that private place with the Ribbon Shalom. And that's not a scary thing, quite the opposite. That's an invigorating thing. It means that at that moment, and the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah is to realize that there is a language that you speak that only God knows. There's a language that God speaks that only you know. And everyone has that relationship. It's a kol d'mama dak. It's the still silent voice that only you hear. And as far as the rest of the world, everyone is else speaking Chinese. And only the Rabbanu Shalom knows your heart. Only you know God's heart. And that takes time to develop that sense of feeling that and believing that and experiencing that. But that's a major avodah of Rosh Hashanah. That's the Shofar. The Shofar, what is the Shofar saying? The Shofar doesn't say anything. The Shofar is just undifferentiated sound. And you turn that sound into whatever it is that your language is. That sound can then be broken up into Chinese words. It could be Korean. It could be, I don't know why I'm thinking Asian right now, but whatever. It could be South, it could be Spanish, whatever, French, you know, whatever it is. It can be broken up into all different languages, and that's that. Because that's the point. That's the point. The point is that every single one of us over Rosh Hashanah, it's hard to just jump into that Rosh Hashanah. So we have some time now. Today's Chaf Hei El. Anyone know what's the yichus of Chaf Hei El? Anyone know what happened in Chaf Hei El? Anyone knows? Yeah, it's the first day of creation. Chaf Hei El, it's the first day. V'yom Elokim Yiyar. So it's a good day. It's a good day to begin. But it's about how does one develop that sense? So there's different strategies. You know, Rabbuna from Shishcha used to say, maybe this is extreme. This might not be comfortable for everybody. Rabbuna from Shishcha said that he would go around life. The way he became who he became was because he imagined he was the only person in the world. He's the only person in the world. I have his other people.
Yeah.
They're the only people in their world. But I'm the only person in my world. Other tzaddikim added that not only you're the only person in the world, but you are the only one that knows the truth. And if you don't safeguard that, the truth will be forgotten. So it's intense, but Lamaise, it's 48 hours. So it's just 48 hours. 48 hours, you go through, again, like I said, your control of your mind. You do things with intensity. You do things with focus. You do things in a way that you use mitzvahs as a way of defining your identity. And you imagine that it's just you and the Rabbanu Shalom. It's just you and the Rabbanu Shalom, and he is the only one, because this is the real truth. It doesn't matter as great of a husband as you have, and as great as friends that you have, and parents and kids. You know, no one truly knows who you are, except for the Rabbanu Shalom, and you a little bit. Even you don't really know who you are. But the Rabbanu Shalom knows who you are. And to whatever degree you think you know who you are, the Rabbanu Shalom knows that better. You know, the Gemara says, the Yishalmi says that Rabbi Kiva said about his students, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, it's a Pelet HaGazach, Rabbi Kiva said that, Dayecha, it's enough that me, you, and God know who you are. Now that's already a big deal. For Rabbi Kiva to know who Rav Shimon bar Yochai is, that means Rav Shimon bar Yochai went around life at least knowing that there's another person that knows who he is. That's already a big deal. But not everyone has that. Most of us have people that know a little bit of who we are, a certain aspect of who we are, but that's okay. It's okay for there to be parts of who we are that no one knows. There's parts of who we are that we don't know. That's also fine. But the Rabbanu Shalom speaks our language. And so it's a matter of time of developing that. That's the Kol Dmama Daka. That's the still silent voice that happens when you enter into Hashem's chamber, Rosh Hashanah. It's a language that only you and the Rabbanu Shalom speak. And all of a sudden, everyone around, no one knows what's going on. Because that's really the truth anyway. So that's another element of Rosh Hashanah. Where are we up to now? Five? Okay, someone's keeping score. Okay, what's the fifth point? The fifth point is again an idea that I've mentioned a lot, and I think it's very important, which is that when you do interact with other people in Rosh Hashanah, it's important to remain focused on seeing them positively, It's very, very important. On Rosh Hashanah, a person is judged and a person is defined. And very often we're defined based on how we define others. So if you go through the day, you go through time, there's going to be people that annoy you. There's going to be people that make you crazy. That's certainly true. And there's going to be negative thoughts that enter into your mind regarding those people. That's fine. You're not in control of a thought that comes in. But you are in control, like I said in the beginning, whether you go down that rabbit hole or not. And you're in control of whether what that next thought is. And that's something that's very, very important. It's very, very important for yourself. It's very, very important for other people. You, for those 48 hours, you are a little Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. You are the positive advocate of the Jewish people, and you're being listened to. You're being listened to. You have to understand, when during this time, we have to Chazal take the sudden very seriously, right? So we blow the shofar throughout Elul, right, and then we stop before Rosh Hashanah to confuse the sudden. So it means that we take the sudden seriously, right? So when the Yetzirah comes during this time of year and tries to get someone to do something wrong, he's not that. It's not the same than when that happens during Shvat. When the Yetzirah comes during Shvat to try to make someone do something wrong, okay, he's trying to make you do something wrong. But this time of year, when that happens, he's collecting evidence. You understand? He's collecting evidence. It means he's not just trying to get you to do something wrong. He's trying to say, oh, you see? You see who that person is? So that's happening. That's happening with us, and it's happening with other Yidden. So we have to be the defense attorneys of other Jews. It means when you see someone do something wrong, and you know that a person does something wrong, and they're annoying, whatever it is, it's not just they did something wrong. This time of year, then that becomes a terrible accusation. And not only becomes an accusation of the person, it becomes an accusation against the Jewish people, because the sudden thing's big. And so what he wants to do is he wants to prosecute everyone. So what do you have to do? Adrav v'adrav, but don't let him have the satisfaction. You become the defense attorney. It means that every single, it's like something very simple, you know? Yeah, like on Shabbos, right? So you say good Shabbos. That's like what we do. You say good Shabbos. What are you saying when you say good Shabbos? What you're saying is, I'm blessing you that you should have a good Shabbos. That's an amazing thing. That means you're saying that this person deserves to have a good Shabbos. It means you're saying that this person is worthy of having a good Shabbos. And you hope and you're davening that they should have a good Shabbos. All that in the simple sentence is a good Shabbos. So when you do that in Rosh Hashanah, not good Shabbos, but you say, you know, whatever, that's an advocation. You're being an advocate. You're helping the person. You're being down the person, the kaf schos. It's very important to always think positively about other people and about yourself as well. It's very, very important. That's point number five. Point number six. I should probably look behind the clock also. All right, a little bit longer. Point number six. I spoke about this last night a little bit, just to make the following point. What makes Hashem really happy? Because you have to understand that our job on Rosh Hashanah is also to make Hashem happy. Because getting involved with this business called creation is it's stressful. It's like uncertain. You never know. It was easier before creation, and everything is just infinite. And everything is just God Himself. It's easy. All of a sudden on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem begins to create the world. So it's like not so pashut. It's not so pashut. So we have to make Hashem happy. We have to make Hashem happy. What makes Hashem happy? What makes Hashem happy is when a Jew, for no other reason than just to make Hashem happy, does mitzvahs. When you simply just do mitzvahs and do the right thing, because that's what Hashem wants, and I know it makes Him happy. That makes Hashem very happy. It gives Him nachas. So you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thought to have over Rosh Hashanah. To have in mind that when you do a mitzvah and you're, doing the right thing, to have a little, to allow yourself to really think of the fact that, wow, this is making Hashem happy right now. It's making Hashem happy right now. Why is Hashem happy when I do, when I hear Kiddush on Yontif? I have no idea. That's what makes Him happy. So you know what? I'm going to allow myself to enjoy the fact that I'm making Hashem happy. That's what I said in the beginning when Ezra said to the Jewish people, Ched vas Hashem yimuzchem, that the simcha of Hashem is your strength. Your strength of Rosh Hashanah is to appreciate the fact that you're making Hashem happy. That's the void of Rosh Hashanah also, to appreciate the fact that you're making Hashem happy by being a Jew and living the life of a Jew. That makes Hashem happy. Those are important things. So that's the list that I guess we'll stop with that part. Because that's a general mindset, a general atmosphere, a backdrop to Rosh Hashanah. Now, specifically when it comes to the davening, so if all of that was a backdrop, I know you're worried that it's going to be with the actual davening. It's very simple. I think when it comes to actual davening, again, with the time that you're able to daven, v'chulu, what you daven for, you know what to daven for. That's not... You know what you need to daven for. It's fine. But just a few. I think two points to make when it comes to just the actual tefillah. Number one, the most important element of davening is to be authentic and honest. It's the most important thing. So you'll see in this farm that the Eden of Rosh Hashanah, you should be talking about Hashem's Malchus. You shouldn't be davening for yourself so much. You should daven for this, you should daven for Mashiach, you should daven for other things, but not so much about yourself. The Iker is to be authentic and honest. If by talking about Hashem's Malchus, it means nothing to you, then talk about yourself and daven for yourself, daven for your needs, daven for your family, that's fine. The Iker Inyan is to be authentic and real, to be honest. Karav Hashem L'chol Karav, Hashem is close to all that call to Him, with one condition, L'chol Asher Yikru Bamas. Now again, is it true that a person should be davening for bigger things and more, you know, spiritual goals on Rosh Hashanah? Yes. But if you're not holding by that, you don't feel that, then that's also fine. So you could talk to Hashem about that, daven to Hashem about that. But the Iker is to be honest and real. That's number one. Number two, when it comes to davening, believe in, you have to have emunah in your davening. You have to believe in your davening. You have to trust that these words, which were instituted by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, Umehem kam neviim, amongst the many prophets. You have to believe that these words are poyel, these words accomplish. You read the words, you say the words correctly to the best of your ability, oiskepol, you accomplish great things. Most of what a person, 97%, you know, pick that number, 97% of what needs to be accomplished, Hashanah, is accomplished by just keeping Shulchan Aruch. Keeping Shulchan Aruch means living, keeping Yontif, b'chul, all the lachos of Yontif, and davening, what you're able to daven, Shemone Esrei, davening, Shacharis doesn't have to be, you know, the Sanat Tekef, V'chol Maminim, all the songs, those are all extras, those are all extra things. Shacharis means Shemone Esrei. Mosef means Shemone Esrei. Mincha means Shemone Esrei. Ma'ariv means Shemone Esrei. That's what the davening means. If you have more time, so you add more things. But that's what davening is, and you have to believe in the power of the words. And you believe that the words are able to be piled. They take your heart, as long as they're said the MS, take your heart with you, with them, and they go, and they're piled good things. So that's number two. So again, when it comes to davening, the main thing is just to be honest and real, to be authentic. Number two, to believe in the koyach of davening. And I guess number three, if I could add, like what Chazal say, echra marbe, vechra mamet, bovat sheichav v'sliv l'shamayim. The Iker is not so much how long your davening is, how short it is. The main point is how much heart you put into it. If you put your heart into it, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little, the most important thing is whatever you're saying, to say with emeskai, to say with authenticity, to say with emunah. That's the main thing. That's as far as the davening is concerned. I guess the final thing to talk about is the shofar. What do you think about when you're blowing shofar, when you're hearing the shofar? So, two things. First of all, one thing to think about, and then we'll blend with that. One thing to think about is, it is recommended to have, and you plan it in advance, something in your life, something that you have to do tshuva for, something very small, very small. I'm not talking about something very small, and to really have thoughts of tshuva about that inyan, and to really make a decision that you're going to do the best you can not to do that again. And by doing so, by having those thoughts going into shofar, you're now defining yourself as a Baal Teshuva. And to become a Baal Teshuva or a Baal Teshuva, according to Torah, it doesn't mean that your whole life has to be overhauled. It means that you've officially undertaken the project of Teshuva. And as long as you do even a little bit of that, that already defines you as a Baal Teshuva or a Baal Teshuva. And so the koyach of the shofar is very, very strong, and it's part of a lot of good things when it's being heard by someone who's a Baal Teshuva. And to make yourself a Baal Teshuva means something in your life. It doesn't have to be, again, usually when we think of Teshuva, there's always, again, this is more after Rosh Hashanah, like a Seres Mei Teshuva talk, but it's good to realize this. There's two things. There's mistakes that are ongoing in your life, and then there are mistakes that are like just one, like a one and done, like a mistake that was made. And it's a different type of tshuva, you know what I mean? So when you're talking about picking something to do tshuva on and to really make yourself a Baal Teshuva, and the shofar should resonate through that, maybe sometimes it's easier to think about just the one and done stuff, because it's like, you know, when you're talking about things that are ongoing, habits that you have that are unhealthy, that's already, it's already harder to commit to that, and that takes, you know, takes more of an avaida. But when you're talking about something that was a mistake, it's not part of your lifestyle. It happens to be. It's a one-time thing. You did something wrong. You said something not nice. Whatever it is, you, You made a mistake. So you do tshuva on that. And it doesn't come with the whole overall of your life. It's a, you made a mistake, but that defines you as a Baal's tshuva. And so the shofar is more powerful if it's being heard by a Baal's tshuva. That's number one. And number two, another thought to think is the daven terbanish, the Mashiach should come already. That we should hear the shofar of Mashiach, that whatever shofar you're hearing, it should be a little taste and a little, you know, it should echo stronger with the sound of the kol shofar gadol, the kabbah shofar gadol cheresena. That's another basic kavanah to have when it comes to shofar. Again, all of that is built on just appreciating the fact that you're doing a mitzvah and you're making Hashem happy by doing a mitzvah, listening to shofar. That's in a nutshell, I think, with the avodah shofar. I think anyone that try to follows that, it's going to be a pretty good Rosh Hashanah. That's for the men, the women, Rashka Bahag, you know, like the Pasuk in this week's Parsha, Moshe says, me, Roshechem, from the heads of the tribes all the way to the lumberjacks and water carriers. You know, this, again, it's easy to go through the list and to say it, but like I said, it's just 48 hours. You could do anything in 48 hours. You could be a very big Ayvid Hashem in 48 hours. Okay. I usually end with a story, so I'll tell you a story. It's not too late. So there's a mice like this. It's mice like this. One of the great Hasidic tzaddikim, Hasidic rebbes, his name was the Radomsker. The Radomsker. Reb Shlomo Radomsker. So he wrote a sefer Tiferes Shlomo. It's one of the great rebbes. So the mice goes that it was once Rosh Hashanah, and the Baal Tekeh for him was a very, you know, very very holy Jew, a big Yerush Shemayim, a God fearing Jew, a Chassid, a Tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, and he was preparing. He was excited for Rosh Hashanah, you know, to blow shofar. It's a big deal. So comes time for blowing shofar. He takes the shofar. It's not going. It goes like this, it's not going. So it happens sometimes, you know, but usually after a few seconds, you know, to the Baal Tekeh it feels like an eternity, but it's only a few seconds, and then he gets it. It wasn't gone. The mamash wasn't gone to the point of where, like, they needed a shofar. They need someone to blow the shofar. So there was a guy who was like a bacher that was standing there that he was like, he blew during Elul. So the Baal Tekeh had no choice. His mamash was not going. So he gave it to this bacher to just to blow shofar. And that's what happened. The guy took the shofar. He was able to blow and it was fine. So the Baal Tekeh that wasn't able to blow, so he was feeling very, very tzabrochen. So the Tiferes Shlomo, Shlomo Radomsker, came over to him after David, and he said like this, let me tell you a story. So what's the story? He said, there's once a king. The king needed a new crown. It's a famous mashal. He said, the king needed a new crown. And so he goes to the most choshva artisan, and he tells him, he gives him the job, that you're going to make the new crown for the king. Now this artisan knows exactly what that means, what's at stake, what it represents. It's a big deal. So he's managed the whole time. He's excited by the job, but nervous at the same time. Till eventually he has a beautiful crown, and now it's time to take the crowning jewel, the centerpiece, the precious stone, and to put it into the centerpiece of the crown, and that'll be it. But the artisan knows what that means. He knows what the king is, what the crown is, what this moment means. His whole life was leading to this moment. So he takes the stone, he takes the gem. But it's like his hand is shaking. And to be a jeweler, he has to have a very, you know, he has to be in control. And he's trying to put it in, he can't get it in. And he's trying to calm himself. He can't calm himself because he knows what's going on. But he doesn't know what to do. So what does he do? So he calls his apprentice. His apprentice is like, you know, second day to the job. He doesn't know anything that's going on. And the guy says, you know, Yankel, do me a favor. Yeah, sure. What is it, boss? You see this rock over here? Yeah. You see the hole over there in the crown? Yeah. Take this rock, put it in the hole. Yeah, take the rock. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Crown is done, right? So Tiferes Shlomo sold the Baal Tekeh. He said, you know, sometimes when you know what's going on in Rosh Hashanah, it's a little bit too overwhelming. So and then you can't blow shofar. So then what you have to do is you have to call the apprentice and just, you know, take this horn, put it to your mouth, blow, and let sounds come out. Like by you, yeah, shofar is you know what shofar is. But sometimes that gets in the way. So. It's okay, you go to Rosh Hashanah, like I said. We do our mitzvahs, we do our avodah. You take the rock, you put it in the hole, you know, you do what needs to be done. B'simcha rabba, u'b'leif shalim. The Rebbeinu Shalom will bless us to have a not just a good Rosh Hashanah, that's small. The Rebbeinu Shalom will bless us to have a good year, a good lifetime, and just a good everything. We should be zaychat to only hear brachas, only hear yeshuas and achamas, and we should all experience brachas, ad b'lidai. Thank you again for the Wolfson's Token of the Home. They should experience Simcha and Bracha and Nachas together with all Klal Yisrael.